All right, we're picking up on part two of Holding Fast to the Lord. I was in prayer this morning, and as I was praying and just going over the message, I saw some things God wanted me to kind of add, and so I added them in. So I want you guys to take this serious, what I'm teaching you. This is not just another message. This is critical for us, amen? Now, we already covered that in Moses' time, God made it clear he was, you know, what he was looking for from us, that we would walk in his ways and hold fast to him. Okay, that was really important that he made that clear to us. And I believe that carries through, without question, that carries all the way through to us in the New Testament. And what I'm going to get into right now is all the ways, this is what I'm teaching on, is all the ways that we should be holding fast to the Lord. And we finished up on this part one last week with talking about the first thing, which was holding fast the word which has been preached to us. All right, and I covered that last week, so you know, go back and listen to that if you haven't already. I'm going to pick up on this this week. I'm going to pick up on the next one. Now, so just as we're called to hold fast to the Lord our God, there are ways that have been given to us to hold fast to him. Amen. The first one I've already covered is holding fast to the word that was preached to us. People, you got to understand that when we prepare messages, when we teach. As your pastors, you know, these messages, I believe, come from God to the best of my ability. And I believe Eva's the same exact way, to the best of her ability. We get before God. We search God to give you guys what is needed at the moment. And to do so, we pray and we set ourselves to do this. We don't just whip these things up and throw them at you. All right. We prayerfully consider what we're doing, and we're doing our best to be led by God. Having said that, there's a need for you to hold fast to those things that you're learning. Now, obviously, many times when I'm teaching you guys and preaching you, it can come off as an onslaught of information. All right? And so God he's looking for you to do your best to grab those things that really speak to you in the message. Let the whole message feed you. Receive the message as a feeding. All right. And if some of it you're not sure you agree with, then lay that aside and take the part that you can respond to and let it feed you. Let it nourish you up in the Lord. And then on top of that, you know, if God is giving you direction through that teaching, hold fast to that. In other words, take hold of it and make it yours. Now, the word hold fast, there's two words in the Greek that I found in the Greek for that phrase hold fast, and the one we already covered last week, it's the word katekō in the Greek, and it means to hold down or hold fast. There defines it as to retain, to hold fast, to keep secure, to keep firm possession of. In other words, we want to do it. We want to make it ours. We want to make it part of us. That's what it means to hold fast to, is to not let it go, to hold on to it and make it yours. Okay. And so when you learn things, you got to make that part of your life. It's going to require some effort on your part. And, you know, like, I don't know if I shared this last week, but Joshua 1:8 talks about, you know, meditating on the word day and night, that we may observe to do according to all that is written in it. All right. And so, you know, you may take some effort on your part as you learn things that God speaks to you with, to spend some time to meditate on that. That's why it's good to take notes, to write things down specifically that are really speaking to you from whatever teachings you're hearing from us, especially. All right? Because if I'm your pastor, I'm your pastor. I mean, I know you get teachings from other sources and so on, and I'm sure God speaks to you through those as well. But in our case, make sure that you're taking the note, writing it down some way, so that you can go back and spend the time to meditate on that, to think about how to put that to work in your life. That's part of how you hold fast to the word. All right. Now, the next one is by holding fast what is good. And I think this is something, I think this is where we fail a lot, people. We fail in this a lot. And we don't even realize that we're failing it, all right? And that's because we're not testing things, all right? And first, this is out of 1 Thessalonians 5:21, and look what it says. This is Paul talking again, and he says, test all things, and then hold fast what is good. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Now, the word test there is the word dokimaso, which means to test. And by implication, it means to approve. To test something, to approve of it, to determine whether it is worthy of approval. There defines it as to test, to examine, to prove, to scrutinize. And the word scrutinize means to see whether a thing is genuine or not. To see whether it is genuine or not. All right? Now, this is the challenge of this whole thing that I want you to get, that where we may be failing and not realizing that we're failing in this one thing, is that we're not taking the time to test those things. Now, I'm going to jump down to point number four here because I want to talk about it here. It says, you know, there are several ways that we test things. This is what God changed for me this morning and gave to me to share with you. There are several ways that we need to learn to test things. Now, before I jump into this, I really feel it's important to share this with you, but there are so many things that we hear and that we have a tendency to okay, to say it's okay without really testing it. We don't really scrutinize everything that we hear. And so you could be out there at work someplace and somebody says something and, you know, it sounds okay. So you say, okay, yeah, that's okay. I agree with that. Now, listen to me very carefully. Things to test things is it's if you develop the habit and practice of it, it can go very quickly. And so you can accept and reject things. And that's not talking about rejecting people. It's not talking about even saying anything to people when you hear something that you don't receive, that you can't hold fast to. Because see, we're commanded to test all things, and then we're commanded to hold fast what is good. And the word hold fast again is that word kateko, which means to hold fast, to retain, to keep from possession of, to keep secure. All right, to maintain it, to make it ours. All right. Now, to test, if we're not testing things, there's going to be things that sound right to our ears, that may sound right to us mentally, that may sound right and may actually fall within our sphere or our world of perspective, the way we see things. And we have a tendency to accept as true those things that we agree with, and we have a tendency to reject those things that we don't agree with, all right? And the defining factor of that is we, you as a person. Now, when God calls us to test all things, it's not for us to think to test something based on whether we agree with it or not. Now, understand something. I do this to myself all the time. I listen to people declare things from the Word and declare, you know, doctrines and stuff like that, more theological stuff. I take the time to listen to some of that. And even if I don't totally think I agree with it, I listen to it. And I find myself sometimes when I test it out, when I scrutinize it based on these several things that I'm going to share with you, I find out that, hey, wait a second, I don't disagree with this person. And the reason I would tend personally to just say I reject that could be how they're coming across. It could be from the theological standpoint of where they're coming from, and I kind of know where they're coming from, and I might just kick it out just because they're not like me. And that's not of God. That's wrong. You know, we need to understand that if something is right and valid, and especially if it's going to be something that's a call to action on our part, we should take the time to test it out, whether or not it's God or not. And if it is, we should hold fast to that. All right? And that includes some of the things you hear in the teachings when we teach. If something doesn't totally set right with you, then there's a need to test that out. And even if it does set right with you, you know, maybe it's time for you to start testing those things to make sure that what you're hearing for you is the truth. All right? Now, the ways that we're going to test things, that God's calling us to test things, has nothing to do with how we think. And we've got to stop using how we think as a basis for saying whether something's true or not. You know, because we can just because I think along a certain line, you know, there's this whole thing of confirmation thing. You know, it's a confirmation that we readily only accept things that confirm what we already think. And that's not necessarily right, because I could be telling you something from the Word of God. Somebody else could be telling you something directly from God. And you'll have a tendency, if it doesn't fit what you think, you'll kick it out automatically. And many times that's happening without you even realizing that it's happening. It's almost being done subconsciously. And that's because with our ego and our subconscious and everything else, we don't want to waste time on something that doesn't confirm what we already know to be true. In other words, we want to bring confirmation into what we believe is true. And so people that are like that, they can't stand scrutinizing. They can't stand what they think being challenged. And that's a very dangerous place to be in. We all need to be willing to be challenged. And there are times when I get challenged over doctrine, over things that I teach by outside sources. I go back to the Word and I scrutinize the basis of why I believe those things. And I've done it enough. I've done it so much that when it comes to hearing that, I don't get upset. I don't get offended. I understand that's where they're coming from, and that's what they believe. I accept that for them, which allows me to accept them and not make them any kind of an enemy or reject them. All right? But it's because I now have a basis by which I know what I know is true. And you should be spending your life building up the basis for what you know is the truth from God. Not from the world, from God. Because God's looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you don't know the truth, how can you truly worship God? How do you know that you're even worshiping God at that point? Amen? I mean, this is really, really important for us. So we are commanded to test all things and then hold fast what is good. You know? And look at what the word for good means. It means, it's the word kalos. It's not agathos, which is inherently good. It's kalos, which properly means beautiful, but chiefly good, literally or morally, which means that it's valuable or virtuous for appearance or use. In other words, that word kalos is referencing things that we can take and incorporate in our lives and use in our lives, put to work in our lives. And you need to understand that. That's what we're to hold fast to. We're to hold fast to things, not just something that looks beautiful, but something that's valuable and virtuous. And virtuous affects how we conduct ourselves and carry ourselves. Valuable deals with how we can use it and put it to work in our lives. Amen? And so God's calling us. He's calling us to start testing what we think. And it's interesting because when you listen to social media, when you listen to all the various sides, I know we're coming up onto our election dates coming up really soon. And, you know, people are just sealed into where they're at, you know, and it's because it's confirmation bias. You know, they already believe something, so they're going to go after the person that they believe is going to fulfill what they want to believe and what they want to see happen. All right. So as a product of that, you'll begin to settle in and there'll become this divide. Now, of course, that's what the whole purpose of the election is for. You pick the side that you want to see come into the presidency and power and so on, all right, and all the things that you want to see happen, all the different things that are on the ballot that you're going to be voting for. But have we taken the time to scrutinize all the things that we're going to be voting for? Not just the people, but the things that we're going to be voting for. Have you taken the time to scrutinize that? Or are you just going to pick something that sounds right to you? You know, I've done that plenty of times, you know. And it's something that I'm not proud of. To really know whether or not something is going to be a value or if it's going to be a burden or if it's going to be something that's completely destructive. You know, it's like the whole thing we voted here, we voted for the, paying for the use of plastic bags when we buy groceries. People are still using plastic bags left and right. It didn't do anything to stem the tide of plastic use. And yet now we have to pay 10 cents on a bag. And that's just going to what? I don't know. All right. But it's some of those things that it didn't really change anything yet. You know, here in California, we voted for it and it got passed. You know, everybody was trying to be conscientious of the environment and it didn't make a hill of beans difference. Not a bit of difference. All right. So just things like that, that we want to challenge ourselves on. Now, these are the ways that we test things. Let's get into this. Let's talk about this for a minute. The first way we test things is according to the word. There's three basic fundamental ways that we test something. The first way is we test according to the word. What does the word say about it? You know, now a lot of people think that just because the word may not say specifically something about a certain thing, then there it's okay for them to leave it up to their own opinion as to whether or not it's okay. That's not true. We're not done testing yet. The other part of this is just because, you know, the word may not specifically, now there's a lot of things that the word specifically says, you know, that it specifically says. And so, you know, if you're not testing what you're going to hold on to with your life based on what the word says, in other words, if the word specifically says, do this, don't do that, and you don't respond to it, you just kind of do your own thing, then you have to question, what are you holding on to? Are we really truly holding fast what is good? Because until something is tested, we cannot define it as good. We cannot define it as valuable or virtuous until we put it to the test to find out. I mean, you can walk into any jewelry store or any, you know, place where you can pawn, like a pawn shop, and try to hawk something that, here's a ring, it's gold. Here's a gold ring. How much are you going to give me for this based on weight? Do you think that person's going to weigh that ring as is and then turn around and give you the amount of money that weight dictates based on how much gold is per ounce? Heck no, not at all. Never going to happen. That person's not going to do a thing until they test whether that's gold on there or not. There's a lot of things that look like gold that are not gold. And there's a lot of things that look like gold and actually are they're surrounded. It's gold, but it's only gold plated. So it's absolutely worthless. There's no value in that whatsoever. Somebody thinks, well, I have a gold-plated ring, so I got gold. That gold is... No, it's not. It's not worth anything to them. The process to remove that gold is too hard. It's too much. And it's too little. It's insignificant. You need to understand that. So unless it goes through proper sale, you know, nothing is going to be approved until it's tested to see whether it is good or not, whether it is valuable or not. All right. And see, you got to understand, if you're holding fast to something you think is good and it's not in alignment with the word, it's not good. Until you test things, you cannot declare that they're good until you know, by taking it through this process of testing that it is good. So there's several ways. The first one is according to the word. What does the word say about it? Now, the word may not say something specific. It may say something specific. If the word says something specific, then you need to hear that. You know, I mean, you. For example, the scripture says, you know, give no appearance of evil. And if we were to test some of our behavior, how much of our behavior would be condemned by that scripture alone? Just as an example. I mean, how are you dressing when you go out? Is it giving the appearance of evil? How are you acting? How are you talking? How are you behaving when you're around people? Is it appearance of evil? See, simple things like that is that there are scriptures. God gives us principal scriptures that have a lot of power in how we ought to conduct ourselves and how we ought to live and how we ought to take hold of something in our lives and know for certain whether it's good or not. All right? The second way that we test things is, now this, you got to listen to this, because some of you are going to get, you're going to get smacked a little bit. I don't mean to do this, but this is still the truth. We test things according to the known will of God for us. Now, the known will of God is the word. So it may sound like I'm just referring back to the word. But I know for a fact that I'm called of God to teach on Sunday mornings. All right? So I don't like to get all crazy and party or do anything like that on Saturday nights. Now, I might go do something for a little bit just because it's family and I'm, you know, I love them and I want to be there for a minute. But then I leave and come straight back home and I get back in the Word and I get back in prayer and just keep myself prepared for Sunday mornings. I don't do things to violate my preparation for the Word. And it gets me in trouble a lot, you know, because when I say I can't do that, I got to get ready for Wednesday or I got to get ready for Sunday. I can't do that. It, you know, people, they don't want to hear that. they want you to go with them and be a part of what's going on. But sometimes I've tested these things and I've seen that it doesn't work for me to just on a Saturday night to go out and party or go out to the show and just, you know, have a good night and then come home. And even if I don't do anything bad, you know, I just, and then I come home and, you know, I go to bed and I get up Sunday morning and it's not fared well with me. Amen. And so I need to do those things that I know the known will of God for me is to do these things in order to fulfill my commission, what I'm called to do, my calling, to keep my calling. And this is where some of you are going to be in a little bit of trouble, because a lot of us think that if God isn't screaming something in my ear to go do, then I'm not responsible. But you need to understand, you've been called. All of you. Each and every one of you. Are called of God. You're called of God. And I really think that this is part of where, you know, many are called but few are chosen. That I think this is where that scripture comes into play, is because we're all called of God, but if we don't answer the call, it may affect our choosing, you know, us being chosen. Now, what God is choosing us for, I'm not going to say, you know, that it's going to heaven. I'm not going to put that out there. I'm not going to put that burden on you. But it could affect our relationship with God. Because part of our relationship with God, part of our covenant with God, is built on what God has called us to do, the commandment, the calling that he's put on our life for us to go do. Amen? And so if you know God has called you to something, like for example, I know that I'm called here, right now I'm called here. I'm called here in California. And, you know, my lovely son is on and he's constantly badgering me about moving. And he knows that I'm not going to do anything because I know that I'm called here to California. So I'm not moving out of California. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. So he knows I'm not called out of California. So I'm not going to get up and go move just because I feel like it or I want to or whatever. I test things based on what my calling is. In other words, what has God told me to do already? And whatever this thing is I'm testing, is this in line with that? Is this in line with that? All right? And so I had to, you know, We all have to, not just me, we all have to come to that knowing of what God's will is for us individually. What is he calling us to do? And are we living our lives in accordance with that? Amen. Now, I'm gonna pick on Tino here for a second, just because he's such a great example here. Tino, you know, he's called to minister to the homeless. And he goes out and he takes things out and to give to them, to bless them, to minister to them. And as he can, he prays with them, he shares the gospel with them. But he goes out and he loves on them. He does it in not just in word, but in deed, in action. He goes out there and ministers. And he comes up on a site and people will start coming up to him. Now, I mean, it's just that anointing that's on him, that calling that's on him. And so when he does things, like, he has to take into consideration what God's will is. If he's testing something, he's going to test that in alignment with, is this good for what God has called me to do? Amen. If you're called to a healing ministry, are you doing things in alignment with that healing ministry? In other words, you know, to walk in the healing ministry, people, is a very spiritual thing, and you need to be prayed up. It's not just something that clicks on and off whenever God wills. I mean, the Holy Spirit wills it, but we need to stay prepared in order for him to use us effectively and efficiently. If you're called to lead, what are you leading? Are you doing anything? I'm going back to the grace gifts that I taught on a while back. Prophecy, are you preparing yourself before the Lord so that at a service, or, you know, are you ready to prepare or to do, give the best that God may want to give through you? Or maybe even personally, do you stay prayed up? These are just, I'm just giving you some things to test in accordance with God's known will for you. If something works with that and helps you in that, then it's a good thing. If something hinders you in that and works against you in that, then it's not something good that you're to hold on to, no matter how it looks. You're not to hold on to it. You're to let it go. Amen. You're to let it go. All right? And I'm gonna give you a testimony of this guy who was, he was a prophet. He was named as a prophet. Thank you, Marion. He was named as a prophet. You know, he believed God called him to be a prophet. People thought he was a prophet and so on. And he had a vision one time. And in that vision, he was walking through this tent city that was like a carnival. It was like this massive circus, massive things where all kinds of things were going on. And people were out celebrating, having fun and doing all kinds of things. And as he was walking through, people were shoving money into his pockets. And this whole thing, this whole tent thing was set up in this giant riverbed. Think of something like the Santa Ana riverbed, where it's basically dry throughout the year until winter comes and it starts raining really bad. Then everything gets washed away through there. And that's kind of where this was at. It was in a place like that. And he was walking through, and as he came out the other side of that, he was loaded down with gold and all kinds of stuff in his pockets. And he started walking along. He was walking along, and he had come out of that whole area, and he was in that same riverbed, and there was these concrete walls up the sides and everything. And, you know, he looked up, and he saw Jesus. And so he walked over towards where Jesus was walking along the top there. And he said, "Lord, look at all the money that I've got. Look at, I've been so blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And Jesus looked at him and he said, "I didn't give that to you." He goes, "You need to get rid of that out of your pocket right now. Get rid of all of that out of your pocket right now." And he goes, "But why, Lord, you bless me?" He said, "Because I didn't give it to you." And so all of a sudden he looked back. He went ahead and obeyed Jesus and took it all out of his pockets and threw it on the ground and emptied out all his pockets. I mean, he was weighed down. And then all of a sudden he heard a roar in the back, and he looked back, and there's this whole wave of flood coming through and just wiping out that tent city. And he cried out to the Lord, and it was coming at him fast, man. And he cried out to the Lord. He said, "Lord," you know, and the guy had a The guy had a cane. He actually was a minister. He was an older gentleman, and he walked with a cane, and he was walking along. He said, "Lord, save me, Lord." And Jesus, and on the top of that wall, there was a fence railing where there was posts coming up and then wires going across. And he told, and Jesus looked at him. He said, "Take your cane and hook this thing and hold on. Hook it onto the post and hold on." And when he did, just as he did that, the water hit him. And when it hit him, it flipped him up into the air and over the fence. And he was standing there next to Jesus. And Jesus told him, he said, "If you had not got rid of that out of your pocket," he said, I couldn't have helped you. You couldn't have been saved. You'd have been washed away just like the rest of them. So people, sometimes, you know, what has God called us to walk in? What's he called us to do? So we need to test things in accordance with that. Amen? And then the third way, so the first way is tested according to the word. Notice it's not you saying that it's okay. It's the word saying yay or nay on that. The second way is it test things according to God's will, known will for you. This is individual and personal. What has God told you to do? Is this in line with that? In other words, is whatever you're testing, is that something that's going to help or is it going to hinder? And you need to really consider those things to make sure that you're not violating your calling on some level. And then the third thing covers that what happened to that prophet, okay, to where he was told no. So sometimes there's this third way that we've got to go before the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit and pray to God, and we test things according to the Holy Spirit. And this is us being obedient to God's leading in our lives, people. What does the Holy Spirit have to say about it? Now, remember in the book of Acts, you know, you had all these men, they were, Paul and Barnabas were a part of that, and a group of teachers, they were together, prophets and teachers, and they were praying and fasting. And then it says, the Holy Spirit says, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them to do. And that was it. And so they fasted and prayed again, Paul and Barnabas, they laid hands on them. And Paul and Barnabas already had it in their hearts that they were going to go out and preach the gospel. They were going to go out across the land and go where Jesus wasn't named and start preaching the gospel. And that started Paul's, apostolic career, his missionary career, where he went across the land and set up churches all across Asia Minor and, almost into Europe at that point. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? And we need to pay attention to that, because this man in his life was getting caught up in things that were being given to him and blessing him. And that vision was there for a purpose. Not to live your life, consuming and taking in. Because you don't know when the flood's coming. And if you're weighed down by the cares of this world and by the deceitfulness of riches and so on, that flood will come and take you away. And so you got to be led by the Spirit of God, people. And so there's changes that we may need to make as we start testing things out. Now, if you haven't been one that's given to testing, I have been. And so my life has been, for the most part, in accordance with my testing. The things that I've tested, whether they're good for me or not. Good for my family or good for the church as the best I can. All right? You guys are all individuals and you need to do this for yourselves and for your own homes. Amen? But as I tested out these things, I began to live in accordance with that. And so you may need to go back in order to hold fast what is good. You may need to go back and start testing things that you've taken for granted for years and get in the Word. And if there's any conviction from the Word, then you need to make changes. If there's any conviction based on what God's called you to do with your life, your personal calling, then you need to make changes and get rid of that which is not good and hold fast to what's good. If the Holy Spirit tells you it's good, then you got it. If he tells you, don't take this, don't follow this way, then you let that go and understand that that's not for you. There are some things that are totally fine. I mean, there are things that are totally fine in my eyes. There's totally fine for other people. But for me, it's not fine because of the calling that I have, because of the way God has called me to live. And that's why testing things and holding fast what is good, you can't assume that because somebody else is doing it, that you can do it. Or if somebody else is not doing it, then you can't do it. You don't judge based on that. You judge based on the word. You judge based on your calling. And you judge based on what the Holy Spirit is leading you and calling you to do, what he has to say about things. Amen? I hope you understand that. Glory to God. Next, by holding fast the pattern. This is how we hold on to God, people. We hold on to what is good. We hold on to what we've been taught, what's been preached to us. And then we hold fast the pattern of sound words. Now, I put this here because this here in the next in line is because when you go back up and you look at the teaching, you know, that holding fast to what you've received from the Word of God, what you've received in teaching from us, what you've received in teaching from others that stands up to the test of truth. Okay, and then you hold fast that which is good. You start testing and scrutinizing things to make sure that they are really good for you, that they're valuable and virtuous for you to walk in. Okay, and then you start, and then the next thing is that it's time for us people to change, really change the way we talk. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the pattern of sound words. And then he's talking to Timothy here, and he says, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. All right? Holding fast. So we hold fast to God. One of the ways we hold fast to God is we change the way we talk. We conform the way we talk to sound words. All right? Now here, the word for hold fast is the word echo, which means to have or to hold. Thayer defines it as to have, to hold oneself to a thing, to hold oneself to a thing. Thayer adds that. You know, to have something means you hold yourself to it. And if you're going to hold fast the pattern of sound words, you hold yourself to the pattern of sound words. And then it goes on, Thayer goes on to define it as to lay hold of a thing, to adhere or cling to. So we got to learn to adhere and cling to sound words. Now the word sound there is the word hugiano, and it means to have sound health. It means to be well in body. All right, so the word predominantly is used to be healthy in body. All right, but figuratively, it means to be healthy in doctrine, to be uncorrupt or true in doctrine. This is all out of the Strong's, okay? Figuratively, to be uncorrupt or true in doctrine. All right, now he says, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. In faith and in love. Now look at, he's defining through faith and love, he's defining what the pattern of sound words should revolve around. How to speak faith, how to talk in a faith way, in a faithful way also. And then also how to speak and talk in the way of love. All right. Now, the word sound words there, the word for words there is the word logos, obviously, and it means Thayer defines it of speech as a word uttered by a living voice. It could also mean doctrine, teaching. And then how much of what we speak is actually in line with the word? See, Paul says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. In other words, Paul was using himself as an example of how Timothy should be talking. And the word heard there is the word akouo, and it literally means to hear, but it also is used in different ways. To hear something, that's the physical hearing, but it also carries the meaning of to give ear to a teaching or a teacher, to comprehend and to understand. So in other words, just because if you hear something, if you don't comprehend it or understand it, you lose it. You're not truly hearing something until you understand it. And see, a lot of people, what they do is they hear something, whether it's from the word itself or in a teaching, and it's something important, and because they don't understand it, they disregard it. Well, I don't understand that, so I'm going to disregard it. But if something sticks with you and you don't understand it, that's an indication that you need to understand this, that this is important to you, that this is relevant to you. And you need to understand this. Amen? You need to understand it. And so in this case, you've got to go through a process of spending time meditating on, studying, to understand what God is saying to you, what God has said to you. Now, I've had people after I teach, you know, after I've done teaching a message, come up to me afterwards and say, "Hey, Pastor, I didn't understand this, what you said. Can you explain it better?" And obviously it was something that stuck with them. Now, in some cases, I get the feeling they weren't sure whether they agreed with it or not, okay? And so they were wanting to see, you know, make sure they understood what I was saying before they just kicked it out. And in other cases, there have been times when they weren't sure what I meant, but it stuck with them in the sense that it was important and they wanted to understand it. And that's great. I welcome both of those cases. If you're not sure you agree with something, come up and say, "Pastor, I'm not sure if I agree with this. Can you explain this in a way that'll help me understand whether I should be in agreement?" And I'll do that. I'll give you what I understand. If you've come to the end of it, you say, "I don't agree with it," then that's fine. I love you. I'm not going to be offended by it. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. Later on, I'll find out and come back and say, "Hey, you were right. That wasn't wrong. That was wrong." Or maybe later on, you'll realize it was right and come back. Or maybe it just doesn't fit something that God has for you. So you just, you're not called to do that. You're not, this is not something that is maybe relevant to you at the moment. I try to keep things on a principle basis, but at the same time, you know, I'm human just like you are. And I mean, I might throw something in there that is based on my understanding. And so you're going to get stuck with stuff like that sometimes, and it's okay to check it, you know, to make sure that that's what, it, you know, what you should be hearing. So I don't have a problem with that. Amen. So I mean, I love explaining. If I'm not clear on something, I want you guys to say, "I'm not clear on this. Help me understand it better." Okay. And if I recognize it was something I said that wasn't relevant or that may not be that important, I'll just say, "Don't worry about it. Blow it off." You know, and that's just because once I go back and, you know, once you share it with me, I might be like, I'm not sure where I was going with it. In which case, I'll tell you to dismiss it. I mean, like I said, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect at this, all right? People try to be, but they're not. Now, so how much of what we speak is actually in line with the Word? How much of what we speak is really in line with the Holy Spirit? Amen? Two things you got to consider, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You know, are we speaking in line with them? Now, the pattern of sound words, that word pattern there is a word hupotuposis, and it means an example or a pattern. So hold fast that example, which you've heard from me, Paul's talking here, in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Now, my recommendation is spend some time with Paul. Read through the epistles. They go fast. Just read through the epistles and begin to get an understanding of how Paul talks and what sound words sound like coming from Paul. Because you know for a fact that everything in the Bible is God's word. So you know that what Paul is saying in his epistles, they're sound words. They're healthy speaking. They're healthy doctrine. They're healthy teaching. All right? And don't be afraid to challenge. Now, some of you consider doctrine as to be some kind of theological thing. What I want you to look at doctrine being, doctrine, okay? Doctrine the word doctrine just means teaching. Look at doctrine as being a teaching of the Word of God or of the gospel, a teaching of the gospel, a teaching of the Word of God that is principal to how you conduct your life or how all of us ought to conduct our lives. That's doctrine. That's doctrine in the sense of how we really look at it theologically. Now, theologically, you know, a doctrine would be like the doctrine of the Trinity. You know, that they're Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all one, but they're all individuals at the same time. But they're one God, and they're all individuals. All right? I don't argue with stuff like that. But that's a doctrine. It's something that's put out there as, if you're going to be a believer, if you're going to be a true Christian, you got to hold to that. All right. So they put it out. They put out doctrines as being things that are truly fundamental to how we should believe and what we should believe to be truth. The problem with doctrine is this. It's real simple. The problem with this is there are so many theological stances on the word itself that the variety of doctrines there are is, you know, you couldn't even count them all. There's different schools of thought on how the word is actually interpreted, so to speak. All right? So for you, what I want you to do is look at doctrine as being a teaching of the word that's predominant, that it's a strong teaching of the word. You see it in many places in the word, and it's something that we build our faith upon, and it dictates how we ought to behave as believers. That's your doctrine. And you want to hold fast the pattern of that soundness, of the healthiness, of the truth, of the principles that you're living your life based on. Amen. That's something that God has called us to. He's called us to hold fast the pattern of sound words. In other words, how we talk. Is it in alignment with the word? Is it in alignment with the Spirit of God? And specifically, is how we are talking in alignment with faith and love? Because Paul points that out. He says, what you have heard from me in faith and love. You've heard from me in faith and love. So that's the predominant thing that should be dominating how we talk. Am I speaking faith or unbelief? You know, am I speaking love or am I speaking strife? Is what's coming out of my mouth promoting love or is it promoting strife? You know, there's a difference between the two. I've found that I have found personally that if I focus on speaking what's in alignment with love, it changes how I talk. If I just shoot my mouth off and say whatever comes to me to say, it may not be in alignment with love. And so we need to filter how we talk through those two filters. Is it faith and is it love? Together, because faith works by love. You can't have one without the other. They both work together. They must work together in order for your faith to work and in order for love to work. All right? And so that's critical to you. You got to get to that place of examining how you talk. How am I talking? Am I talking in accordance with, you know, soundness of words, of healthiness of word? You know, the healthiness of faith and love? And I think if we focus on those two things, man, we'll kill the majority of bad ways that we tend to talk, the bad pattern of how we talk. Faith and love will completely take care of those things for us. Amen? So that's number three, by holding fast the pattern of sound words. Number four, I'm going to get one more in here. I may not finish on this, but I'll try. The fourth way that we hold fast to God is by holding fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope from to the end. Hebrews 3, 5 through 6 says, "And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony to those things which would be spoken afterwards." So in other words, Moses was the witness. "But Christ, as a son over his own house," so Moses was the servant that was over the house of that God put in motion. He was in all his house, was faithful in all his house. God made it Moses' house. He was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. In other words, you got the Mosaic law. You've got all of that Levitical law. You've got the covenant that came through along with the law. All right. And so that's Moses' house. Those that lived under it, those were the Jewish people. All right? But Christ as a son over his own house, his own house. Now, his house includes both Jewish believers in him as well as Gentile believers in him. All right? But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Now, you're of the house of Jesus. I'm not of the house of Moses. I'm not Jewish. I'm not under the law. I don't live under the law. I don't try to gain my righteousness under the law. I'm under the house of Jesus, you know, which is a house of faith. It's a house of grace. All right. It's a house of love. We love God. God loves us. Amen. Now look what it says here. whose house we are. Now, a lot of people don't see these kinds of things. But there's a condition for us to continue to be his house and to end our lives in his house. There's a condition. Because he says whose house we are if. And I looked up that word if this morning because it just caught me. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. If. That word if is the word eon, and it means a conditional particle. In other words, if. Greek interlinear puts in there if indeed. So if you look at the Greek interlinear, it'll say whose house we are if indeed we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. In other words, the condition of us finishing as being the, under in the house of Jesus is if we hold fast. And that word hold fast there again is the word kateko, which means to hold down, hold fast. There defines it as to retain, to hold fast, to keep secure, to keep from possession of. What are we to hold fast to? What are we to keep firm possession of? Our confidence. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So we have to hold fast. Now in the Greek interlinear, it actually says our confidence and our boasting of hope firm to the end. It's a little bit different. But here it says if we hold fast the confidence, and that word confidence there is the word parisia, which means all outspokenness. It means frankness, bluntness, publicity. And then by implication, it means assurance. So if we hold fast our assurance, but I'm going to add to this, not just our assurance, but our all outspokenness concerning Jesus. Our all outspokenness concerning Jesus, concerning God, concerning his word, concerning who we are in Christ. Our all out confidence, our all outspokenness. And then the rejoicing. Now the word for rejoicing there is actually the word kachima. That word should not have been rejoicing there. It should have been the word boast. If we hold fast the confidence and the boasting of the hope firm to the end. We're supposed to be bragging about the hope we have in Christ. That's what we should be doing. We should be outspoken and boastful of our hope in Christ. That's what that's saying. And it says, firm to the end. All right, if we hold fast our all-outspokenness and our boasting of the hope, and the word hope there is elpis, which literally it just means from Strong's expectation or confidence. If we hold fast our hope, our expectation and confidence of what? Of what we have in Christ, of where we end up, who we are, what Jesus has done for us, all of it together. Firm. Firm. In other words, stable, fast, firm. Immovable. Firm. And then I looked up that word too because I was just led to. Because usually it's a different, it just means to the end. It's the word en typically. In this case, it wasn't. It's the word mekri in the Greek. And it means as far as or until. In other words, we are to hold fast our all outspokenness and our boasting of our expectation in Christ, stable and firm until the end. As far as the end. Until the end. Now, what does that mean? That means that we're to do it until we die. We're to do it until Jesus returns. Now, if Jesus doesn't come back in my lifetime and I go on to be with the Lord, then I'm going to do it until the end, until I die and go on and be with Jesus. And that word end there is the word telos, and it literally means end or termination. The limit at which a thing ceases to be. And always of the end of some act or state, but not the end of a period of time, the end. In other words, in this case, it's time may not be end. See, for us, the word end there doesn't mean until the end of time. It just means until the termination, the limit at which a thing ceases to be. If I stop ceasing to be in this planet, then I've hit my end. And if I've held my my boasting, if I've held my outspokenness and my hope and firm to the end, then I'm guaranteed that I am part of the house of Jesus. It's guaranteed that I am part of the house of Jesus. People don't realize that. People have this idea that, you know, if you pray the prayer of salvation, you're saved. No matter what you do after that, you're going to heaven. That is not true. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. All right? If you believe, and what is it that you got to believe? There's a few things you got to believe. But if you truly believe, faith changes the way you live. It changes who you are. It changes how you behave. It changes how you see the world. If you're still seeing the world the same way as you always have, faith hasn't changed you. And so you need to look at these things and begin to back up a little bit. And let's do some scrutinizing. Let's do some testing here. What am I believing? Where am I really at? And that's why I put this nexus, so that when you get up, when you get to here, you know, you're already aware that I need to be paying attention. You know, what is my boasting? What is my confidence? What is my all outspokenness? Am I bragging about, you know, some team? Am I bragging about some pop star? Am I all outspoken about politics but nothing about Jesus? Yeah, you need to check yourself, because this is what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be holding fast our all outspokenness and our rejoicing of hope firm to the end. And so there are two things that define us as being part of the household of Christ: holding fast our confidence, our outspokenness until the end, and then holding fast. The rejoicing, the boasting of our hope until the end. Amen. Praise God. Now I'm going to stop here for today.